sleepwalking is an odd outgrowth of a normal aspect of how our brains work while we slumber. Most of the time, as our bodies move in and out of different phases of rest, our most primitive neurological structure, the brainstem, paralyzes our limbs and nervous system, allowing our brains to experience dreams without our bodies moving. Usually, people can make the transition in and out of paralysis multiple times each night without any problems. Within neurology, it's known as the switch. Some people's brains, though, experience switching errors. They go into incomplete paralysis as they sleep, and their bodies are active while they dream or pass between sleep phases. This is the root cause of sleepwalking, and for the majority of sufferers, it is an annoying but benign problem. Someone might dream about eating a cake, for instance, and the next morning find a ravaged box of donuts in the kitchen. Someone will dream about going to the bathroom and later discover a wet spot in the hall. Sleepwalkers can behave in complex ways. For instance, they can open their eyes, see, move around, and drive a car or cook a meal, all while essentially unconscious because the parts of their brain associated with seeing, walking, driving, and cooking can function while they are asleep, without input from the brain's more advanced regions, such as the prefrontal cortex. Sleepwalkers have been known to boil water and make tea. One operated a motorboat. Another turned on an electric saw and started feeding in pieces of wood before going back to bed. But in general, sleepwalkers will not do things that are dangerous to themselves or others. Even asleep, there is an instinct to avoid peril. However, as scientists have examined the brains of sleepwalkers, they found a distinction between sleepwalking, in which people might leave their beds and start acting out their dreams or other mild impulses, and something called sleep terrors. When a sleep terror occurs, the activity inside people's brains is markedly different from when they are awake, semi-conscious, or even sleepwalking. People in the midst of sleep terrors seem to be in the grip of terrible anxieties, but are not dreaming in the normal sense of the word. Their brains shut down, except for the most primitive neurological regions, which include what are known as central pattern generators. These areas of the brain are the same ones studied by Dr. Larry Squire and the scientists at MIT, who found the neurological machinery of the habit loop. To a neurologist, in fact, a brain experiencing a sleep terror looks very similar to a brain following a habit. The behaviors of people in the grip of sleep terrors are habits, though of the most primal kind. The central pattern generators at work during a sleep terror are where such behavioral patterns as walking, breathing, flinching from a loud noise, or fighting at an attacker come from. We don't usually think about these behaviors as habits, but that's what they are. Automatic behaviors so ingrained in our neurology that studies show they can occur with almost no input from the higher regions of the brain. However, these habits, when they occur during sleep terrors, are different in one critical respect. Because sleep deactivates the prefrontal cortex and other high cognition areas, when a sleep terror habit is triggered, there is no possibility of conscious intervention. If the fight or flight habit is cued by a sleep terror, there is no chance that someone can override it through logic or reason. People with sleep terrors aren't dreaming in the normal sense, said Mahowald, the neurologist. There's no complex plots like you and I remember from a nightmare. If they remember anything afterward, it's just an image or emotions, impending doom, horrible fear, the need to defend themselves or someone else. Those emotions are really powerful, though. They are some of the most basic cues for all kinds of behaviors we've learned throughout our lives. Responding to a threat by running away or defending ourselves is something everyone has practiced since they were babies. And when those emotions occur, and there's no chance for the higher brain to put things in context, we react the way our deepest habits tell us to. We run or fight or follow whatever behavioral pattern is easiest for our brains to latch onto. When someone in the midst of a sleep terror starts feeling threatened or sexually aroused, two of the most common sleep terror experiences, they react by following the habits associated with those stimuli. People experiencing sleep terrors have jumped off of tall roofs because they believed they were fleeing from attackers. They have killed their own babies because they believed they were fighting wild animals. They have raped their spouses, even as their victims begged them to stop. Because once the sleeper's arousal began, they followed the ingrained habit to satisfy the urge. Sleepwalking seems to allow some choice, some participation by our higher brains that tell us to stay away from the edge of the roof. Someone in the grip of a sleep terror, however, simply follows the habit loop, no matter where it leads. Some scientists suspect sleep terrors might be genetic. Others say diseases such as Parkinson's make them more likely. Their causes aren't well understood, but for a number of people, sleep terrors involve violent impulses. Violence related to sleep terrors appears to be a reaction to a concrete, frightening image that the individual can subsequently describe, a group of Swiss researchers wrote in 2009. Among people suffering one type of sleep dysfunction, attempted assault of sleep partners has been reported to occur in 64% of cases, with injuries in 3%. In both the United States and the United Kingdom, there is a history of murderers arguing that sleep terrors caused them to commit crimes they would have never consciously carried out.